You know, today actually marks the culmination of something big here at Hood Memorial Christian Church. We've been on a journey for the past 7 weeks, if you count today. A journey that we've called, if you've seen outside and driven down the road, we've been calling it Freeway. There's been a lot of amazing things that have been happening over the past 7 weeks. Every Sunday morning, we have, of course, gathered for 7 weeks in a row, journeying towards this elusive freedom that we're all looking for in some way, some shape, form, from the things that hold us down, that hold us back, that bind us up in our lives, things that would rather see us fail. We've gathered on throughout the week, the course of the week, Mondays and Wednesdays and different days in small groups. Our men's group has gotten started, and we've met on Sunday mornings at 9:15 out at Cracker Barrel, having fellowship and planning all sorts of things. Our women have met in their circles each week for the past 7 weeks and had what I understand. I didn't get to attend. They wouldn't let me, I guess. Well, actually, I guess I never asked. I should have asked. Perhaps they would have let me be an honorary woman for the day. But I understand that they had some amazing times together, times of sharing, their emotions and their stories and their hearts with one another. We started a younger is all relative, but a younger couple's, person group from about 25 to 45. That group has been pretty amazing. I have got to be a part of that group because I am in that age range. And that group started out with about 8 folks, and then it was 12, and then it was 15, and then we trickled some more in over the weeks. And it's been an amazing time of sharing and digging deep in our lives with one another. Over half of those folks don't even attend Sunday mornings yet. That's how new they are. Isn't that amazing? It's been an incredible journey. Each week, many of you have engaged in personal and spiritual reflection through the 3 or 4 devotions that Joni and I sent out over email or put on our website, or we usually have a few copies printed out as you walk in on Sunday mornings as well. We've had folks over the past 7 weeks come to this church and join and throw their lot in with this family of faith. Folks over the past 7 weeks have asked for copies of sermons, have gone to the website and read sermons, and check this out. Now, y'all know we're not the largest church in Dunn. We've been averaging, 45 to 50 folks on Sunday morning, which is a good step up from when I first got here. But over the course of the past 6-7 weeks of these Freeway sermons that have been on our website, listen to this, over 1,140 people have gone and viewed and read or listened to a sermon from this Freeway series. Don't know where they all are. Could be here in Dunn, could be Virginia, could be California, could be Zimbabwe. Who knows? But that's how far this series, this journey to freedom, has reached in our community. Over 1,100 folks have read or listened to a Freeway sermon. We've been sharing with folks in the community. I don't know if you've heard it, but I certainly hear it all the time when I go out. There is a buzz around Dunn about Hood Memorial Christian Church right now. Every time I go into some establishment around Dunn, I hear, "Oh, you're the preacher over there at that church." I hear great things about what's going on there. In fact, I heard just the other day, you're going to be seeing so-and-so in your church real soon. It's been pretty cool. Over the past year and a half, we have elevated the witness of Hood Memorial Christian Church throughout Dunn and how we and this family of faith is following Christ in new and unique ways together. When I first came to Hood, I could sit a couple days a week. I was working part-time still in Charlotte, a few days here at Hood. But I could sit in the building over in the pastor's office, and I could barely see anyone. A few folks would come in on Thursdays and help me print bulletins. But today, when I come into church, I can't get a thing done because people are always coming in to help, which is wonderful and good, to just chat and ask questions, to participate in one of the many activities that are now happening in our congregation. We have yoga happening here 2 nights a week through some of our campus partners. We have people coming here every day of the week for counseling through SAFE, seeing Neil or Melissa McClan. Our AA and our MA groups are still going strong. That happens three times throughout the week. We've designed a lot, at least over the past week, or a month, or two, or three. I don't know how long it's been. I should look. We've been spending a lot of work on this beautiful new history and conference room that you see to your right and my left. There's been a lot of buzz happening around here. Wednesday evenings, if you drove by Livermore Christian Church about 2 years ago, you might not see anybody around 6 o'clock. You might see a few folks at choir practice at 7, but nowadays, I heard somebody say the other week coming out of the church, my gosh, I came out and the parking lot was full. It was amazing. There are great things happening at Hood Memorial Christian Church. As you saw our kids sing earlier, we have a burgeoning group of young people who are just adding so much to our family of faith. It is truly stunning how far we have come in just a year and a half or so. And so there's two things that I want to say about all these amazing things that are happening here within the family of faith that we call Hood Memorial Christian Church. First, God is rescuing us. And you are all witnessing to that. Every one of these, I don't know what to call them, but for lack of a better word, accomplishments. Every one of these amazing things that are happening here is proof that God is rescuing this church. A church that, in your words to me, when I first came here in, March-ish of 2016, in your words, we're kind of dwindling. We're not sure we're going to be around. Your words, not mine. Today, we are growing. Growing despite four beloved saints who have passed on over the course of this past year. We are growing. Worship this summer, we had 50% higher attendance than last summer. Amazing. Stunning. We are growing. And for those out there listening to this message, because there will be people listening on the radio and over the internet, you don't want to miss out on what is happening right here in this church family. God is rescuing this family of faith, and you don't want to miss out. It is an amazing time to be a part of Hood Memorial Christian Church. And that leads me to the second thing that I want to say. First, God is rescuing us. Second, God is rescuing us so that we can be rescuers. Rescue to be rescuers. That's what this is about. All these great things mean nothing, you see, if we don't share our story, our journey, our experience with other people. Yes, God is rescuing us and amazing things are happening in our church. And no doubt in each of your lives over these past 6 or 7 weeks as we've been on this freeway journey. In fact, I heard over these past weeks some amazing and touching and moving and beautiful and emotional things that have been happening to so many of you as you shared something that you read or heard or reflected on in a devotion or how a sermon touched you or how impactful the small group has been in your life. Yes, God is rescuing us, but it means little if we don't share it with those around us. God is rescuing us. God is rescuing you. So grab hold of God's arm. Let God pull your life out of the mud and then share that story of being rescued with someone around you. And I'd like to give you an example straight from Scripture. If you'll turn with me, if you like, in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, we read a story about a woman, a Samaritan woman, and her encounter with Jesus at a well. The story begins, Jesus had to go through Samaria. Had to. This is interesting, this first verse that we read. It's interesting because Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. They didn't like each other very well. Usually Jews would just bypass going through Samaria. In fact, they'd walk a day or two's extra journey just to avoid going through Samaria and avoid all the Samaritans that were there. So no, Jesus did not have to go through Samaria, but Scripture says He did. Interesting, isn't it? Perhaps Jesus knew He needed to go through Samaria, knew something was important and life-changing would happen if He went through that area. Whatever it is, Jesus goes through this region called Samaria. when normal Jews, especially rabbis, would pass it by. We continue reading. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. And it was about noontime. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. I'm going to pause again. This is also very interesting because normally women would go and draw water two times a day from the well. They would draw water in the morning so that they would have water throughout the day. And then they would go back in the evening around sunset and draw water again so that they would have water through the night. But they would not draw water in the middle of the day. So why is this woman getting out at noon, middle of the day, to get some water? Hold on to that question. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. And the Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews and Samaritans, you see, didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him and he would give you living water." Now, the woman questions Jesus about this water that he's talking about, and she doesn't seem to understand what's going on here. So Jesus clarified for her that he's talking about a different kind of water. A water that quenches all thirst. A living water. The woman gets interested in this water, and so she asks to have some of it. And then, a few verses later, Jesus says to the woman, "Go and get your husband and come back here." The woman replied, "Well, I don't have a husband." "You're right to say I don't have a husband," Jesus answered. "In fact, you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now isn't your husband. So you've spoken the truth." Now, we know why she didn't go to get water in the morning or the evening. You see, it's pretty clear that she has a reputation. She has a past. A past that's full of mistakes that would, in this particular society, at this particular time, mistakes that would shame her. For right or for wrong, for good or for bad. So why is she going at noon? Well, to avoid people. To avoid facing her mistakes and those who would stare at her. Those who would look with shame upon her and mock her. She goes at noon to be alone. Jesus shouldn't even be talking to the Samaritan woman if they were following all their cultural mores and norms. And yet, the two, Jesus and this Samaritan woman, have a conversation. And over the next few verses that we read, Jesus speaks about breaking down barriers between Jews and Samaritans. And then he practices what he preaches by talking to this Samaritan woman. The woman is shocked at Jesus' words. Can't believe what's happening. Jesus knows what she has done, and yet he speaks to her without a hint of condemnation. That's pretty amazing. The woman clearly recognizes something in Jesus. Something that reminds her of what she knows about the coming Messiah from Israel's teachings. And Jesus confirms her suspicion a few verses later when he says, "I am he, the one who speaks to you. I am the Messiah." This woman hopes, her hopes were literally being fulfilled right in front of her. Barriers were being broken down as Jesus, this Jewish man, spoke with her, a Samaritan woman. Barriers which wore her down. Barriers which put her to shame. Barriers which defined her life. And Jesus' actions, his acceptance of this woman, it pulls her out beneath those barriers. Pulls her out of the mud and the muck of her life. And notice what happens next. The disciples arrive, and then Scripture says, the woman put down her water jar and went into the city, and she said to the people around her, "Come and see a man who has told me everything that I've done. Could this man be Christ?" this woman who went to the well at 12 in the afternoon because she wanted to avoid the crowds is now going right back to the crowd that she wanted to avoid and telling them about Jesus. Why? How? Because Jesus broke down the barriers that kept her away. Jesus freed her from the shame that she was experiencing. And her response is to immediately share it. Her mistakes, her failures, her shame, they were all transformed. Through Jesus, this woman had now become aware of the mess in her life. And she had owned it right in front of Jesus. She found that she wasn't condemned by Jesus, but rather that she was forgiven by Jesus. And so she begins to accept that forgiveness, to accept Jesus, to accept herself in light of everything that was a part of her life. Those are all steps that we've been talking about on the three-way journey. Awareness, discovery about ourselves, ownership of those things in our life and that are around us, forgiveness and acceptance. And today we come in freedom. The kind of freedom that this woman experienced and is now compelled to share. Feeling led to share. Called to share with others around her. And all because of this amazing truth. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God can use your biggest failure to be the launching pad to your greatest call. Freedom in our lives is fulfilled, you see, when we share it with others. God wants to use your freedom story right now for amazing things. God wants to use the amazing story of freedom and growth and accomplishment of this church right now to do amazing things. Because no matter where things were headed a few years back at Hope Memorial Christian Church, our, what some around here might call failure, is going to be the launching pad to our greatest calling. And it is happening right in front of our eyes. Because God knows the power of stories. God knows that one person's story, one community's story, can open the door for someone else with a struggle in their life. One freedom story, you see, can be the key to the beginning of another freedom story for someone else. So if you don't remember a word said today, if you remember nothing else, I pray that you'll remember this. Whoever you are and wherever you've been, whatever you've done and whatever someone has done to you, you are rescued by God to be a rescuer. God rescues you to be a rescuer. You see, somewhere along life, we bought into this idea that God only wants the righteous and the perfect parts of us. That God wants us to fix ourselves. That God doesn't want the broken and the sinful stuff of our lives. But the truth is that God doesn't use perfect people. Just read about people in the Bible that God called and used. None of them are perfect. In fact, far from it. They're all quite broken people. No, God doesn't use perfect people. God uses broken people who allow God to shine through all their brokenness. If you were here last week, you'll remember me talking about a Japanese art form called kintsugi. It's a form of art that allows a broken piece of pottery to be put back together and made whole. But not to hide the brokenness, rather to make the brokenness shine. So it glues pottery back together with golden glue. This week, Linda Butler brought me a piece of pottery that she had broken long ago, and she had tried, I think, to put it back together so that you wouldn't see those cracks. But after Sunday's sermon, she went and got it, and she took all those cracked lines and painted gold all along them, recognizing and memorializing that we are more beautiful when we are broken than we are when we're whole. That God can put us back together in spite of how messed up, how mistake-filled our life might be. No matter what anybody has done to you to put you down, to press you down, to break you apart, God makes kintsugi art out of all of us. And that's how we find freedom. And this is always the way that God sees us, as His beautiful work of art. And so here's what else is true. If you'll allow others to see all those cracks and those broken places in your life, if you allow others to see how God has filled those cracks with gold, then the brokenness in your life will be a testimony that just may help someone begin to accept the gold that Christ is using to fill in the cracks of their life. God made you a beautiful work of art so that others might see you and allow God to make them beautiful works of art as well. So find God's freedom in your life through Christ and share it with others, because you have been rescued to become a rescuer. And as we work with one another to share our stories throughout this community, we will find that God continues to rescue us together as this family of faith, which gathers here on the corner of Cumberland and Clinton, week after week. This people of God on mission that we call Hood Memorial Christian Church. Amazing things are happening here. You don't want to miss out. God is rescuing us. And like the woman at the well, we're going to share that transformation story far and wide, because through it, God will rescue others from the pain and the shame and the hurt and the fear that they're experiencing today as well. And along that journey, God will continue to rescue each one of us as well. Amen.